Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, James producing the operation. Text line filled with your favorite fries. Tomorrow's National Friday. Get it? For today was 7-Eleven Day. Get it? It was 7-Eleven. Tomorrow's Friday. It's on a Friday. I actually like days like this. It's like fun sometimes just step back and, you know what? It's waffle day. We have a waffle. It's Friday. We have fries. Donut day. Well, it seems like there's a million donut days, but
yeah,
you step back. Is there a favorite donut you got?
A favorite donut?
Is there a favorite donut place that you have?
I wouldn't necessarily say like a place, like individual place, but an individual donut. I really like a Bismarck.
Bismarck. Mine's the, what they call them, old fashions.
Yeah, those are good too.
It's kind of like a crinkled up
like a glazed donuts. Yeah.
Quick Trip, I think, has great donuts. I like the Hy-Vee Fast and Fresh donuts. Lamar's, it's hard to beat that. I mean, it's hard to beat Lamar's. There's a Donut King in North Kansas City. They're good too. But Lamar's is fantastic.
Well, I'll tell you what, I live in Cass County, and right there in Cass County, Big Daddy's Donuts. Shout out
to Big Daddy's Donuts.
Yeah, they got fantastic donuts.
I live in Platte County. There used to be, actually, I live close to Clay, and I was over there. Winchell's Donuts, a long time ago. It's been like forever since. It's like a Subway now or something. I missed the days of Winchell's Donuts. You got to be pretty old school to remember Winchell's Donuts.
Yeah, I do not.
You do not. Here they go. Text line 816. Freddy's fries are trash. Anyways, they come. I disagree. I like Freddy's ice cream and I like the French fries. It's up to your individual preference. Somebody likes them. Somebody doesn't. Somebody like Wendy fries or Burger King. It's just whatever you like. Everybody's got their favorites. But I'm just curious if you. All right, one time you used to go through a drive-through to only order the fries. Like, you only order them. I know Sonic had this special white groovy fries or whatever they were selling. So anyway, I'll get off the fry talk because I'll talk about them forever because I love French fries. AFC West, don't know what your opinion on. It's not a very respected division nationally. For instance, the Denver Broncos, they seem to be happy with Bo Nix, a quarterback. I have my questions about the quarterback situation. I still think they're years away, and they took two steps back with their quarterback situation the way it is now. Their schedule, though, 20th hardest schedule in the NFL. And again, when teams win and lose, some teams are rated a lot higher than they should be at that point. The Raiders, by the way, the Raiders are a team that's going through quarterback questions. You realize Aiden O'Donnell is the start leader in the clubhouse now. I think Davante Adams knew that he was kind of the leader in the clubhouse. But you know how screwed they are with Aiden O'Donnell? Gardner Minshew, to be honest with you, I think he's better than Aiden O'Donnell. They're going to be in a quarterback battle in training camp, but I would rather go that direction than Aiden.
That's who they got is Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew.
He's the leader in the clubhouse is Aiden O'Connell.
Oh, yeah. They're screwed.
Which we saw what he did. Even though they beat the Chiefs, he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
They have the 8th hardest strength of schedule. The Raiders do, by the way.
Oh, that's rough.
Now, the Chargers, I want to get the Chargers down too, because with Jim Harbaugh there, does it change? Yes. I think it does, and I know that every year people pick the Chargers, and they're going to go out and do something. They have the 27th rated strength of schedule, by the way. 27th in the NFL. For a team, and listen, they lose Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. That's their big loss. I mean, there's big question marks at the wide receiver position. They're kind of going to be like the Chiefs were with Patrick Mahomes. Justin Herbert's going to have to elevate the talent of the wide receivers around him. I know they really like Ladd McConkey. And they say Quentin Johnson actually catches the football this year, unlike he did the year before. And by the way, the Chiefs have the 16th hardest strength of schedule. See, when I see that, it's kind of with one eye open and one closed. Because when you play 3 games in 11 days, it doesn't matter really who you're playing. But the fact you're playing that many games that close, or the fact that the month of December and January, the Chiefs have either at home or they're playing in cold weather cities. Every single week from there on out. And hey, December weather in Kansas City, you might get a 60-degree day. I don't know. Or you could get a minus 30-degree day like we've seen. You never know what you're going to get with the Chiefs playing at home. But every year that people pick the Chargers, and I think this might be one year, I have them making the playoffs. I do have them making the playoffs. I'm not sitting here just saying, well, I believe in the Chargers because actually I get tired of this kind of sentiment from people every year on the Chargers. But this was NFL Network on the culture and talent of the Chargers. We'll see if you agree.
The team, if we talk about culture and winning, is the Chargers, Steve. And that's because you've got a quarterback in Justin Herbert, who has shown I can be a top five quarterback in this league, but you have a head coach who shows every single place I go, I win. Whether it's college, whether it's the NFL, let me get a national championship, let me go to the Super Bowl. He has shown, you talk about culture, he has done that everywhere. There's no guesswork on what Harbaugh is going to do. He's going to go in there and win. So you already have a team with, I think, got a talent, not just a quarterback, but you've got Joe Alt, the first round pick they just drafted, going with Rashawn Slater, maybe the best tackle group in the league. Hey, Bosa's on the side. Does Khalil Mack have anything left? So they've got a lot of intriguing things going there with the Chargers because there's no guesswork. Last year with the Texans, Ken Stroud do it. Ken D'Amico Ryans, first-time guys. Well, you saw how instantly they got better. But now you got a proven quarterback and a proven head coach. Watch out, Steve. That's the team for me that has the best culture and talent.
They don't have the best culture and talent. The best culture is in Kansas City. I mean, you can't say it's not. I mean, they won back-to-back 100. Super Bowls. They've got a great culture. They all get along well, even though they're star-stud at this point. And Kelsey's, spending $100,000 a day with Taylor Swift. Yes, I mean, they've got the stardom, and they have the commercials and everything else. But the culture here, in my opinion, is the best. When you go to as many Super Bowls as the Chiefs have lately, and when Mahomes has won three, and he has a chance for a three-peat, the best culture's here. Now, I do like Jim Harbaugh. He does win everywhere he goes. I mean, he was great at Stanford. He wins a national title at Michigan. I thought he would. It took him longer than I thought it would, but I thought he'd win a national title there. He's been to the Super Bowl, and now you pair him, a former NFL quarterback, with Justin Herbert. I think this is what Herbert's needed all along because Staley wasn't that. He wasn't it. Staley personally held the Chargers back. But you pair Herbert with a competent coach in Jim Harbaugh, but he's going to be throwing the Joshua Palmer. He's going to be throwing the Quentin Johnson. He's going to be throwing the Brendan Rice, Jerry Rice's That's kid, right. If he makes the team. But the running back, it's got a feel of the Baltimore Ravens because they bring in Gus Edwards.
Sure.
So I think he's going to be okay. Not great. He's going to be okay. And J.K. Dobbins, which is always hurt. He's got the talent. We know J.K. I wouldn't have even minded him in Kansas City had he ended up here because you just take a flyer on him. But that's their team. But when you talk about the head coach, because we look at Kansas City and think, all right, as long as you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, you're going to be a good team. So in the same respects, are we saying that Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert can still be a capable team even without some of the talent? And I get it. Bosa, Mack, those guys. Bosa's always hurt. Bosa's always hurt for the Chargers. And Khalil Mack took less money to come back there. So I think and Asante Samuel's there in the backfield. Derwin James, I do like Derwin James at safety. I think they're good. I don't think they're great. I think they're on their way up. I love their draft this past year, and they just got the new training facility or whatever. They call it the Bolt. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's awesome. But I definitely think the Chargers are the second-best team in this division behind the Chiefs.
I'd agree with that. But I also think that if the Chargers are going to be competitive, it's going to be their defense that does it for them. It was kind of like what we were saying earlier in the show, where when you have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes or like Justin Herbert, you have to surround these guys with talent. And I feel as if the Los Angeles Chargers have failed to do that. I'm looking at their depth chart. We've got Gus Edwards, Joshua Palmer, Quentin Johnson. Who are these guys? I mean, yeah, maybe they had decent seasons. Maybe they're growing into stardom or whatever, but they ain't got nothing.
Well, Quentin's got potential. I mean, he was a first-round pick. I mean,
I'll give him that.
But that wasn't a great receiver class. It just wasn't.
That's true.
Like, Rice and Puka led the way in that, and Puka was a fifth-round selection, the third fifth-round selection of the Rams, by the way. And Rashee Rice was right there behind only Puka as far as rookie wide receivers. But his problem was catching the football. I remember Jamar Chase, when he first got to Cincinnati, was dropping everything.
Yeah.
And this guy had won the Biletnikoff back in college, but he was dropping everything, and that turned around very fast.
I will say I am interested in Brendan Rice and seeing how he will develop.
I was interested in him for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I mean, he went late, but seems to be, I mean, he's a capable guy. I've seen him play.
Yeah,
sure. But again, can that translate to the National Football League? We'll see.
Well, if he's got, 70% of the talent that his father had, it probably will.
785 says, hey, put some respect on the name of the 20-time defending preseason division champs. It's the only thing they've got. They are preseason champs a lot. They are not going to stop the Chiefs' streak of consecutive division titles. I do think they're the second best because I definitely think they're better than Raiders. I think they're better than the Broncos. I think that Jim Harbaugh can turn that thing. Again, the guy's won everywhere he's been. They're not ready to win this division, but do I think they'll be a capable team? This coach is better than what they've had. Like, this is better than Brandon Staley. Jim Harbaugh isn't going to make the mistakes that Staley did down the stretch 100%. Of games. And they'll get better at wide receiver. We'll have to see how Ladd McConkey does and stuff like that. I know the sky's the limit on him at this point, but we'll see how good of a team they can be. Can they be competitive? Because he's proved that. Remember, Harbaugh got the most out of Alex Smith before he got with the Kansas City, like resurrected his career.
That is true.
But the Raiders and Broncos, I just don't like those teams.
No, Broncos are in disarray, so to speak. They don't know what they're doing. Like you said, they're relying on Bo Nixon to be their quarterback. They haven't found a quarterback in, I don't know, almost a decade. It's been a quarterback carousel since Manning was there.
It's tough, man. It's tough. Bo Nixon, I mean, is he the answer? They keep going through quarterbacks like water because this is what the NFL's gotten to. That's why we see these big contracts. You know, we're talking about Dak Prescott making $60 million a year.
Yeah.
Which, is he worth it? No.
No.
But is he worth it to NFL teams that have trouble paying anybody? Well, they've talked about the cap, which I agree with because CDOT's talked about it. Kling's talked about it, about having, you know, the quarterback doesn't count against your cap.
Yeah.
But then you do cap that number for quarterbacks because it does get out of hand when you're paying your quarterback. Because it's getting crazy what teams are paying quarterbacks because of the Mahomes effect. Everybody wants the Mahomes. Everybody wants that because they realize that's the end-all be-all in the NFL. I always thought, take it to another level, I always thought you should have one offense and one defensive player that don't count against your cap. You take either one of them. But Chiefs are playing by the rules. Like I've always said, you pay your quarterback, then win. Because then, guess what? Then you have to be good in the front office. Which I think the Chiefs have the advantage now because they've proven. And I know we look at it and say, well, we quarterback salaries are getting out of control, and who knows what Mahomes is going to want the next time around.
Sure.
But the one thing is the Chiefs have proven they can do it. Like, that's the advantage, Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like, Jalen Hurts got his money. Josh Allen's got his money. Lamar Jackson got his money. You know, Justin Herbert's got his money. The only problem is they haven't won anything. The Chiefs have since they paid Mahomes. They've won two rings since they got the big contract. But you got to prove that you can win because that means you have to be better in the front office, which the Chiefs have proven they are.
Yeah.
So that's kind of contradictory on what the Chiefs are good at. So you'd say, well, no, let's let them pay the quarterbacks. Because to be honest with you, whenever you see this, and when Trevor Lawrence gets all his money, because Shad Khan, the owner of the Jags, had come out and said, hey, I think we're going to concentrate on the draft instead of splashy free agents, which I believe in that philosophy. You know, handpick a few here and there, like Chiefs when I got Tranquil last year for a one-year deal. He worked out. They gave him 3-year deals. Hollywood Brown. Mm-hmm. This is a beautiful situation the Chiefs are in. Because you're getting a competent former first-round wide receiver because they did win a Super with only one first-round pick on offense in Mahomes. But you get him in, and he's a prove-it deal. It's like being a waiter or waitress, right? You're going to go home and not make any money unless you smile and tell that baby's cute. Because then you're going to make money because that's the only way you're making money, right? Hollywood Brown has a chance with Reed Mahomes to make a lot of money. It's like the perfect situation for the Chiefs getting a receiver that doesn't have the bag. It's not like you gave him $80 million, right? And he can kind of sandbag it or whatever this year. No, he's hungry, man. He's hungry to get that money. Because he knows he's got this one time and one time only after this year, but it's not going to get any better than getting Reed or Mahomes. And that's what you're going to get. That's a look at the AFC West. Another article came out from Sports Illustrated about 12 teams they think can win the Super Bowl. Because, you know, someone else has got to win it at some point. Like, Mahomes ain't going to win them all, but who's it going to be? Who's that quarterback going to be? Who's that team? I can shave this list way down from 12. We'll do that next. And welcome back to After Hours, Jay Binkley. James producing the operation. James, pretty cocky, man. He said, would you stomp everybody, you think? Remember, CDOT's got the PS5 downstairs, and he plays all the time.
I know. I've got an Xbox One.
He's very good at video games, by the way.
Yeah. I don't want to say cocky, but I am very confident. If CDOT want to link up, we can get online. We can do the thing. We can find out for sure.
What's your best game?
Call of Duty. First-person shooters.
Call of Duty, all right. Are you going to get the new college football game?
Probably.
It looks so fun, man. It does. I mean, they've just done it right. When they keep leaking out, you know, the videos and the player rankings. Everybody talks about them. They get everybody's attention. Everybody starts talking, ooh, giving Shadur that ranking. Whoa, it's Arch Manning getting that 87 overall ranking now. And then they leaked the Virginia Tech uniforms, their new uniforms, a couple days early because Virginia Tech was going to do their own reveal. But since they put the highlights of the video game out with the gameplay, it's got Virginia Tech's new uniforms. But we're going to do a tournament and be listening to 610 Sports Radio tomorrow for your chance to enter. I know on Cody and Gold, with Gold this week, we had people call in and do their fight songs.
Yeah.
And they were terrible.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what.
Which is fine. It doesn't matter. I mean, you're in the tournament. You're in the tournament.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to talk to Speck or C-Dot or whoever I need to talk to and find out about getting in this tournament.
The tournament's going to be at Hy-Vee Arena, and we're going to have a ton of fun doing it. Sports Illustrated, which is still around. Remember when we thought it was done? Like,
sure.
It never went away, though. Remember they had AI writers or something, and they were like, and then it went away. But it never really went away, did it?
No.
So I always wonder when I see articles like, hey, who wrote this? But the 12 teams that can win the Super Bowl next year, number one, your Kansas City Chiefs. Number two, the Buffalo Bills. Strongly disagree. Three, the New York Jets. Baltimore Ravens, then the Bengals. The Browns, the Texans, the 49ers, the Rams, the Lions, the Packers, and the Eagles were their 12. Well, I can automatically take off the Packers. Now that's down to 11. I will take out the Rams. Now we're down to 10. The Cowboys keep flirting with everything and never actually do it. Now I could take this list down to 9.
Sure.
I'll even go down to 7 because I'll get rid of the Jets for 8 teams, okay. And I'll get rid of the Bills for 7. If the Bills, they've had a great defense. I mean, they came in the Arrowhead at 13-second number one defense in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They were one of the 6 best scoring defense in the NFL last year. They've lost that talent. And you lose Stephon Diggs. Do I really think the Keon Coleman's going to be that difference for them? No, because if they have proven they haven't done it when they've had better teams than what we've seen,
yeah.
Why would I think the Bills should belong in winning the Super again? I hate to say it because I think Josh Allen's the second-best quarterback, but I think that coach, McDermott, brings him way back. And the Jets, we'll see. They have a chance to be really good. If Aaron Rodgers plays like he does, they have a chance to be a pretty good team.
Yeah, their
but
defense
a Super Bowl-caliber team, I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And then with the Bills, they lost all their talent. It's, once again, a failure to surround your quarterback with talent.
I think they've let Josh Allen down.
I think they failed him. Yeah, and it's unfortunate because Josh Allen is a generational talent. I think he's the second best quarterback in the league, and I'd put him over Joe Burrow.
Well, they lost Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs, Jordan Poyer, and more than that. So who wins it? All right, let's take this out of the question. This doesn't mean you don't think the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. I personally think they are.
Yeah.
And I think, James, you're probably in the same boat. Okay, if they don't, which quarterback wins it? Josh Allen, we've already said we don't think he's going to win it. Then who wins it? Is it Burrow? Is it Jalen Hurts? Is it C.J. Stroud? I mean, who's that quarterback? Because somebody's going to win the next one.
Sure.
It can't always be Mahomes, and we know that.
I think it's probably Lamar Jackson. I would go with Lamar Jackson. I know a lot of Chiefs fans aren't going to enjoy that, but I don't know who else it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be San Francisco. The Lions aren't in it.
Frisco, I think, has the better roster because they're not paying their quarterback yet. Remember, I talked about how important it is paying your quarterback. They're paying Purdy 7th round, last pick of the draft money. Yeah. They're eventually going to have to pay him. And then guess what? You can't keep that same talent like Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, all that. You can't keep everything if you pay your quarterback. But they have less rest than any team in the National Football League. It's a double-digit less rest. And we know the Chiefs had less rest than everybody last year, and what happened? They won the Super Bowl.
Sure.
But the roster is talented.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I just don't know if they can get over that hump. They've been there a couple times. They've failed a couple times. So I don't know if
Well, their defense has definitely not been the same since they lost to D'Amico Ryans.
That's true. That's 100% true.
I like the Texans actually in the AFC. Like I'm one of those, like I'm buying them. This isn't.
I do too.
Buy the hype of the Chargers and all that. This team went out and spanked the Browns in the first round of the playoffs. And DeMeco Ryans has proven he's a pretty damn good coach. Now, he didn't win Coach of the Year. They gave it to Stefanski because we talked about what a joke that award is because they vote on it before they wait till the playoffs. Why wait for it? Why not just wait till the whole damn thing's done? Then pick your Coach of the Year. Yeah. It's like Ned Yost never won Manager of the Year coaching for the Royals. Come on, man.
Right.
The small market team. No wonder small market teams won. He didn't win because they vote early. What's the point in voting early? No one cares. Wait till it's all played out. Because then DeMeco Ryans would have won instead of Stefanski because he kicked his ass in the playoffs. Baltimore, I like, and I'm not sure why they held Jackson back, but they didn't play. And they got all credit to Spagnuolo and the Chiefs for forcing him to do things that they don't normally do, but they did not run their game plan like they'd done all year. Yeah. And they probably regret that. It's going to be interesting to see the Chiefs and Ravens in the regular season. Because I don't think you need to actually go watch game film on that very often because I don't think they're going to play that way.
And how awesome is it that we get it week one? I'm so excited, Bink.
I know you are, buddy. Me too. The Bengals, Burrow, I think Burrow's a fantastic quarterback. I do. I mean, I love Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver. I don't like when he runs his mouth at the Chiefs. I'm talking just his talent. But their window's closing, right? Because T's not happy. He's probably going to be gone the next year. The defense was bad last year. And I wasn't wild about their draft. They had a decent draft except for Mims in the first round. I think it was a real stretch for the Bengals there. And they've had a history of being cheap. Now, they paid Burrow. They can pay everybody else. We're seeing with T being upset right now. And Trey Hendrickson wanted to be gone. Last year, I had the Bengals on tier one with the Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills. I'm not putting the Bengals on that first tier. I have the Ravens there. And I have believe it or not, I have the Houston Texans. But Joe Burrow, I mean, his hand, that wrist makes a difference. Like, he's playing the piano now to, like, stretch out his hand. If he can return to form, he could be a great quarterback. But if he doesn't, what do you actually have in Cincinnati? Because without him, they're nothing.
Yeah, 100.
Cleveland, Deshaun Watson didn't play anywhere near how I thought he would last year. Like, I was just looking at what he does on the field. You know, before that whole debacle he was in, he led the NFL in passing yards, right? He leads the NFL in passing yards, but last year he wasn't anything like that we've seen in the past, and Joe Flacco had to come turn over. The Lions, I'm buying what the Lions are doing and Dan Campbell. They're taking those steps. You take these steps, that's what they did. They took steps and made all the way to the NFC title game. The Packers, I'm not buying because I think there's too much love on Jordan Love. No pun intended. I think people are waiting to crown him way too early, and I don't think they have the talent around him. I like Christian Watson a lot, but he had that hamstring issue so bad that he went up to the University of Wisconsin to learn how to work on hamstring because he missed like half the season with that damn hamstring.
I like Romeo Doubs out there in Green Bay. I don't think he's like a wide receiver one, but
I just get tired of teams that don't take those steps. Remember the Packers the first time around with Favre? They'd make the playoffs, whatever, then finally get the NFC title game, then finally they got over the hump, but they never won another one.
Yeah.
We see the Jaguars. Remember, a couple years ago, they went the AFC title game with Blake Bortles, but didn't capitalize on that and had to rebuild again. We're a sucky team, and then they got better again with Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. And he looked good because he won a playoff game against the Chargers. Came back from the 27-0 deficit, right?
Yep.
Well, then what happened the next year? Everybody liked the Jags. They had a favorable schedule. Peter King put him as maybe the number one seed of all the AFC going through it, and then they choked all over themselves. But this year, Trevor Lawrence gets the money, which is crazy, but they let everybody down. They didn't take steps. The Miami Dolphins, are we seeing them take steps? I mean, I know it's cold in Kansas City, but they choked against the Bills. They could have kept the Bills out of the playoffs. That's how Buffalo was either out of the playoffs or the number two seed playing the last week against Miami. So I'm not buying the Miami Dolphins. It'll be interesting what happens. I do think they're possibly an implosion waiting. If Jalen Waddle starts getting the ball more than Tyreek Hill, I can see that maybe become an issue. Maybe becoming a real issue with those teams. But regardless, somebody else is going to win it. Coming up next, the over-unders are out for some of the wide receivers. Curious what you all think next. Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, James, producing the operation. The ESPYs are on, but I haven't paid a damn bit of attention. I don't like award shows, or whatever, but Chiefs are up for three with Team of the Year. Patrick Mahomes, best NFL player. He's already won that. They gave him the award already. He won it before it even started, and best male athlete. So we'll pass along if they win. I think we'll be off the air when they give the best team of the year award. That's usually towards the end, I think. Not a big awards guy. Andy Reid is there, though, by the way. Andy Reid is there. By the way, the over-unders for some of the wide receivers this year in the NFL. Marquise Brown. I mean, I'll do a few of these guys, but I'm just going to stay with Marquise Brown here, all right? Hollywood Brown, over-under on catches, 60 and a half. Give me the hell the over on this. To me, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
60 catches? Oh, because you know, Kelsey's been great. And do I expect his production to be good? Yeah. You know, everybody was saying he was declining last year?
Yeah.
He actually led the NFL in yards per game. He did. He was only 36 yards behind George Kittle, who played more games. Kelsey is one of four guys with 80 catches for eight straight years. You know who the others are? Torrey Holt, Marvin Harrison, Jerry Rice. Boom.
Elite company.
Travis Kelsey. Do you realize if he gets 80 catches this year, that's nine straight years, and I know he stopped his streak at seven for 1,000 yards in a row. He easily would have got it, 16 more yards. But if he gets at least 80 catches this year, that's 90. That's nine seasons. Nine straight seasons has never happened, but you don't hear it anywhere else. Marquise Brown in his career, all right, so he's had 46, 58, 91, 67, 51. That 91 was a year in Baltimore with 1,008 yards. Baltimore still led the NFL in rushing that year, so those are good numbers considering that's a running team. He's going to be with the passing team this year, and Patrick Mahomes is his quarterback. Not only that, he's in a contract year.
Yeah.
As Therese Paylor once said, the contract year is undefeated, which he's right about that. But the bottom line is, with the over-unders being that way, I've got to say that would be the over because that would be disappointing if he hits the under at 60 and a half.
I'm throwing the whole farm on the over.
I would too because who knows what's getting the rice. It could be a suspension this year, and it may not happen at all until next year. We don't know. Like that's the big question mark right there. But Kelsey, could it come down a little bit? Yeah. But, I think that Noah Gray is going to get his. I think he's going to have a career year this year. I think Jared Wiley is going to get some of that. They're going to spread it around. But as far as a true number one, I think all year, even though Rice emerged last year, I think it's still Hollywood Brown, who's in a contract year to get the bag. So over in 60 and a half, 100% I'd go over. Not even a question.
100%.
His regular season receiving yards, over under 775. I think if he got hit 775 or the under, that would be a massively disappointing year.
Yeah. I kind of expect him 1,100.
He hit 709 in 2022, 574 in a year where he played 14 games is way off, but 91 for 1,008 back in 2021 with the Ravens. I would take the over on that. Again, I have high hopes for Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
I mean, he's with the number one team in the NFL, the best head coach in the NFL, the best quarterback in the NFL, and a contract year. That all adds up to greatness. Like, that all adds up to really good stuff to go get the bag.
Yeah.
Like, you can't diagram it any better than that.
And it's not as if the Chiefs are one-dimensional. It's not all on Hollywood Brown. There is going to be some relief from Travis Kelce, from Isaiah Pacheco. And so I think it's just going to make that number even more obtainable.
Now, the last one they had, regular season receiving touchdowns, over under 5.5. Now, this one becomes more interesting because he is a smaller in stature guy. So we'd have to have those, you know, those long range touchdowns, which I think he's going to get. But remember this, in his career that spans since 2019, it's been a 5-year career in the NFL. Only twice he has failed to get at least that number of 5.5. He's had 7, 8, 6, 3, and 4. In the last 2 years, well, he's missed some games because he missed 5 and then 3. So he's missed 8 games in the last 2 years. But only twice in those 2 injury-riddled years, he fell short of the 5.5. I would go over on all 3 of them. This isn't a homer take. I can just see they're going to be using this guy, man.
Sure. I would actually go under on the touchdowns.
Okay.
Just because I think that Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco, they're going to get their touches in the red zone. And even Rashee Rice is going to get his opportunities with those quick slants and whatnot.
There's also some good ones. You know, Marvin Harrison, I think, is a generational talent at wide receiver. His receptions over under is 78.5. I'd go over on that. 1,000.5 yards over on that. Like, without a question. Receiving touchdown 6, I go over on that. I think he hits all three of those marks, to be quite honest with you. That was Marvin Harrison Jr.
I'm right there with you, bud.
And last year's sensation, fifth-round pick, Puka Nacua, which I'm not giving the Rams any credit because he was their third fifth-round pick. So, okay, you threw a dart and you got it right. Puka's regular season receptions. Now, keep in mind, he set a rookie record last year with 105. 90.5 for a guy that I don't think Cooper Kupp's going to be able to put a full season together. I'm going over on Puka, 90.5. 1150 in yards. All right, 1150.5 in yards. That actually gets more interesting. That actually gets more interesting, but I'm going to go the over because I think he's a true number one receiver. Regular receiving touchdowns, he's got 6.5. I could see him hitting that as well. So, I'm over on a lot of these.
Yeah, I'm going to go over on all three of those as well, mainly out of optimism, as Puka was my first-round draft pick in my way-too-early fantasy draft. So, I'm going to go over as well.
I mean, it's just funny. Look at, like, Romo Dunze, that I like. They're calling the next Terrell Owens, right? Uh-huh. 67.5 with the quarterback, Caleb Williams. Going to get more than that. His yardage was just at 700.5 and 4.5 touchdowns. Like, I hate to keep going over on all these, but damn, man.
They're not setting the bar very high.
No. Now, with Stephon Diggs down in Houston, how good is he going to do? Receptions, 86.5. I would actually take the under here. Here's where I'd go under. 950.5 yards, I'd go the under on that one as well. And touchdowns for Stephon Diggs, because I think he really started to slide last year. 5.5, I'd go the under on that. I'd do the all three under. I think Tank Dell is actually going to be that guy in Nico in Houston, Stephon Diggs, because he did take that step back last year.
Yeah, I think Stephon Diggs was brought in not only for his production, but maybe a little bit for his veteran leadership. Nico Collins.
And they didn't pay much either because that's a Buffalo still to pay that price.
Yeah, yeah. So those guys are the future in Houston.
And he's 30. He's 30. And you look at his reception numbers last year, you know, they started sliding towards the end of the year, and that's with Josh Allen.
Yep.
You couldn't make it work even with the Josh Allen. So I do like C.J. Stroud. I don't think he's quite on Josh Allen's level. I do like him, though. I do think that's a great pick. Like, I love his attitude, and I love how much he likes the game. But regardless, the over-unders, I finally went under, but most of them were overs. And definitely with Hollywood Brown. I ain't messing around with that one.
Yeah, for sure.
Coming up next, we'll look at the Royals and the Boston Red Sox. You asked me an interesting question. We'll deal with that next. Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, James. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock. See, that's taking some time off. One more day here. Got to get ready for camp. Camp starts next week, 16th for the rookies. 21st for the veterans getting there. How often do you think Andy Reid will be asked about three-peating? I think that'll be a topic du jour in day one. I think that'll be topic du jour in day one. As far as the Major League Baseball is concerned, James, we were seeing what Boston was going to do against Oakland. They win 7-0. So Red Sox now moved just one game over the Royals. They came in at a half today. Royals didn't play today. Red Sox did. They beat Oakland's crap team. They get the one. Hey, it's still in play, man. You can kick Boston right out of that wild card. The Kansas City Royals, it's all in front of you, man. You play them. And you know what? The Royals have been playing good teams well.
Yeah, they literally control their own destiny.
They do. And I love, love, love. And by the way, Cleveland got hammered today. So Cleveland, bad. Not only that, they lost 3-4 to Detroit coming forward. I mean, Detroit, the only reason they beat them was in the 10th inning once. Cleveland's not playing well. We talked about how hard their schedule was second half of the season. I mean, it's like the Padres. They get the Phillies on there, who, by the way, swept the Yankees. Oh, the Dodgers. The Phillies swept the Dodgers. The Phillies have been playing good baseball. They're 29 games over 500. Think about that, 29 games over 500 before the All-Star break. But that's who Cleveland's got coming up. The Royals get the White Sox. The Royals get the 3 a.m. bar girl to start the second half of the season, which is absolutely perfect. But, James, you sent me a text earlier and asked me who I thought would be the Royals who'd go down as the greatest Royal in history, Sal Perez or George Brett. in your opinion, is?
I got to give the nod to Sal Perez. And maybe it's because of my age and I didn't get to really see George Brett play.
You're prisoner
that much
of the moment. But you know what? It's fair.
Yeah.
It's fair, but it's not what I do. And I've seen them both. I grew up with George Brett, and I've seen Sal Perez now rebuilding. Now, you could look at Sal Perez. If you're building the case for him, he's been with two young groups, and he's won with. He won with the Hosmers and Moose and guys like that, and they won a world title. Then the team was bad. Now he's winning again with guys like Vinny and Bobby Wood Jr. and Massey. He's winning with this group and Kyle Isbell. Like, he went through two different groups there, and he's winning. He's won a Silver Slugger. He's been a World Series MVP. He's got a ring. And he's doing things at the catcher position that's not been done before. But to me, it's still George Brett. Because George Brett's the best baseball player I ever saw playing. And I think sometimes it's who you're around and watching. Like, I was at that age when I grew up, and, you know, I was 12 when they won in 85, and I saw Brett so many times. And I think the fact he won, he proved he can be good for a long, long, long stretch of time. They wouldn't just flash in the pan. He won a batting title in three different decades, which that's insane.
Yeah, you got to give him his credit where it's due. I will say Salvador Perez is turning into not just one of the best players in Royals history, but one of the best catchers in MLB history.
Oh, no question. He's one of, what, three to have 250 home runs, at least 1,500 hits. Johnny Bench and Ivan Rodriguez, the other two, just on that list. I mean, we're looking at Brett. He did have 317 home runs. Brett was an MVP of the whole league. Like, Sal hadn't done that. 13-time All-Star. He did win a gold glove. I know Sal's won more, but he did win a gold glove. Won three batting titles. He's been an ALCS MVP. And, of course, three-time Silver Slugger as well. So, both great. Salvador Perez will have his number retired. He'll have a statue. My statue idea, James, has always been the new stadium, ever-flowing bucket of water.
Yeah.
Like, it's a city of fountains, right?
Yeah.
Just ever-flowing. Like, it's always like it's a fountain that just flows, and it's always water coming out of it.
That would be awesome.
And that way kids can stick their head under it when it's, you know, really hot outside or whatever.
Yeah.
But you got to do that, though. I mean, you have to do it. But it's a good argument. If you didn't see George play, I get it.
Yeah.
But, man, those Royals, man. I mean, that was – no salary cap act. No, there's not a salary cap now then either, but it was before the TV explosion. The Royals were the highest payroll in baseball in like 1990, like even really? Going back to Ewan Coffin's last year, the highest payroll in baseball. And then all of a sudden the cable television explosion with the YES Network and Turner Broadcasting and all that. And now teams can spend money and the Royals would be hurt by an Omar Infante contract. But yet some teams like the Angels could throw $70 million at Josh Hamilton, or the Red Sox could pay Pablo Sandoval a bunch of money just to go away. The Royals couldn't. They couldn't throw cash as a Band-Aid like a lot of other teams have. But it is interesting, and I do think I think it's an age question. And it's hard because Sal Perez has been so good. He's the captain of this team. He's meant so much. The guy's on a roll. And the funny thing is, he homered against the Cardinals twice.
Uh-huh.
Like, the month of July is actually the fewest home runs he's ever hit in a month.
Huh.
But he is just ruining that right now, right?
Yeah.
Like, they need his bat. Salvador Perez getting hot again. And the way he just kind of he commands a team, but he's done it with two different groups, and that's always impressive.
That's what's the most impressive to me. And, you know, I was born in 88, so I didn't get to see those special seasons.
You're young.
Those 85 seasons. And even, you know, in the 90s, I'm 5 years old.
Sure.
You know?
I can't knock you for like a Perez. I am going Brett, though. I mean, George Brett's one of the greatest baseball players, five greatest baseball players I've ever seen.
And I can't argue that. I mean, I've went back and watched highlights of the old 85 team, and George Brett brought this sense of intensity.
I mean, intensity. The Pine Tar game, you name it. I mean, he was full of fire. And you know what? You didn't go out there and screw around because he was going to be in your ass. Like, that kind of fire and intensity, man, was brought by George. Love it. Love it. But anyway, the Royals and Red Sox for three coming up. It's going to be a huge series in Boston. Don't forget the Royals get the Red Sox back at home later on this year. But to be honest with you, you think about the stretch going out and playing the Cardinals twice. They're in the playoffs. The Red Sox at that time were. So that was going to be five straight games heading into the All-Star break. playing playoff caliber teams. But when you can pitch as well as the Royals are, man, you're always in it. That's the thing, man. Just get to the finish line. Imagine playing a series going against, you know, Lugo and Reagans and Singer, and then maybe getting Reagans again in a closeout game like halfway through the game. There's some good stuff. There's some good stuff. You make an argument there should be three all-star pitchers. You know, it's the first time in their history they've had two starters in an all-star game.
Really?
Yep. First time they've in the history of the franchise. They've had multiple pitchers at times, but not two starters from their rotation. So good stuff. Thanks for listening tonight. Thanks, James. I had a ton of – you need to read is there. By the way, the over-unders for some of the wide receivers this year in the NFL. Marquise Brown. I mean, I'll do a few of these guys, but I'm just going to stay with Marquise Brown here, all right? Hollywood Brown, over-under on catches, 60 and a half. Give me the hell the over on this. To me, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't
– 60 catches? Oh, because you know, Kelsey's been great. And do I expect his production to be good? Yeah. You know, everybody was saying he was declining last year?
Yeah.
He actually led the NFL in yards per game. He did. He was only 36 yards behind George Kittle, who played more games. Kelsey is one of four guys with 80 catches for eight straight years. You know who the others are? Torrey Holt, Marvin Harrison, Jerry Rice. Boom.
Elite company.
Travis Kelsey. Do you realize if he gets 80 catches this year – that's nine straight years, and I know he stopped his streak at seven for 1,000 yards in a row. He easily would have got it, 16 more yards. But if he gets at least 80 catches this year, that's 90. That's nine seasons. Nine straight seasons never happened, but you won't hear it anywhere else. Marquise Brown in his career, all right, so he's had 46, 58, 91, 67, 51. That 91 was a year in Baltimore with 1,008 yards. Baltimore still led the NFL in rushing that year, so those are good numbers considering that's a running team. He's going to be with the passing team this year, and Patrick Mahomes is his quarterback. Not only that, he's in a contract year.
Yeah.
As Therese Paylor once said, the contract year is undefeated, which he's right about that. But the bottom line is, with the over-unders being that way, I've got to say that would be the over because that would be disappointing if he hits the under at 60 and a half.
I'm throwing the whole farm on the over.
I would too because who knows what's getting the rice. It could be a suspension this year, and it may not happen at all until next year. We don't know. Like that's the big question mark right there. But Kelsey, could it come down a little bit? Yeah. But, I think that Noah Gray is going to get his. I think he's going to have a career year this year. I think Jared Wiley is going to get some of that. They're going to spread it around. But as far as a true number one, I think all year, even though Rice emerged last year, I think it's still Hollywood Brown, who's in a contract year to get the bag. So over in 60 and a half, 100% I'd go over. Not even a question.
100%.
His regular season receiving yards, over under 775. I think if he got hit 775 or the under, that would be a massively disappointing year.
Yeah. I kind of expect him 1,100.
He had 709 in 2022, 574 in a year where he played 14 games is way off, but 91 for 1,008 back in 2021 with the Ravens. I would take the over on that. Again, I have high hopes for Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
I mean, he's with the number one team in the NFL, the best head coach in the NFL, the best quarterback in the NFL, and a contract year. That all adds up to greatness. Like, that all adds up to really good stuff to go get the bag.
Yeah.
You can't diagram it any better than that.
And it's not as if the Chiefs are one-dimensional. It's not all on Hollywood Brown. There is going to be some relief from Travis Kelce, from Isaiah Pacheco. And so I think it's just going to make that number even more obtainable.
Now, the last one they had, regular season receiving touchdowns, over under 5.5. Now, this one becomes more interesting because he is a smaller in stature guy. So we'd have to have those – you know, those long-range touchdowns, which I think he's going to get. But remember this. In his career that spans since 2019, it's been a five-year career in the NFL. Only twice he has failed to get at least that number of 5.5. He's had 7, 8, 6, 3, and 4. In the last 2 years, well, he's missed some games because he missed 5 and then 3. So he's missed 8 games in the last 2 years. But only twice in those two injury-riddled years, he fell short of the 5.5. I would go over on all three of them. This isn't a homer take. I can just see they're going to be using this guy, man.
Sure. I would actually go under on the touchdowns.
Okay.
Just because I think that Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco, they're going to get their touches in the red zone. And even Rashee Rice is going to get his opportunities with those quick slants and whatnot.
There's also some good ones. You know, Marvin Harrison, I think, is a generational talent at wide receiver. His receptions over under is 78.5. I'd go over on that. 1,000.5 yards over on that. Like, without a question. Receiving touchdown 6, I go over on that. I think he hits all three of those marks, to be quite honest with you. That was Marvin Harrison Jr.
I'm right there with you, bud.
And last year's sensation, fifth-round pick, Puka Nacua, which I'm not giving the Rams any credit because he was their third fifth-round pick. So, okay, you threw a dart and you got it right. Puka's regular season receptions. Now, keep in mind, he set a rookie record last year with 105. 90.5 for a guy that I don't think Cooper Kupp's going to be able to put a full season together. I'm going over on Puka, 90.5. 1150 in yards. All right, 1150.5 in yards. That actually gets more interesting. That actually gets more interesting, but I'm going to go the over because I think he's a true number one receiver. Regular receiver receiving touchdowns, he's got 6.5. I could see him hitting that as well. So, I'm over on a lot of these.
Yeah, I'm going to go over on all three of those as well, mainly out of optimism, as Puka was my first-round draft pick in my way-too-early fantasy draft. So, yeah, I'm going to go over as well.
I mean, it's just funny. Look at, like, Romo Odunze, that I like. They're calling the next Terrell Owens, right? Uh-huh. 67.5 with the quarterback, Caleb Williams. Going to get more than that. His yardage was just at 700.5 and 4.5 touchdowns. Like, I hate to keep going over on all these, but damn, man.
They're not setting the bar very high.
No. Now, with Stephon Diggs down in Houston, how good's he going to do? Receptions, 86.5. I would actually take the under here. Here's where I'd go under. 950.5 yards, I'd go the under on that one as well. And touchdowns for Stephon Diggs, because I think he really started to slide last year. 5.5, I'd go the under on that. I'd do the all three under. I think Tank Dell is actually going to be that guy and Nico in Houston, Stephon Diggs, because he did take that step back last year.
Yeah, I think Stephon Diggs was brought in not only for his production, but maybe a little bit for his veteran leadership. Nico Collins.
And they didn't pay much either because that's a Buffalo still to pay that price.
Yeah, yeah. So those guys are the future in Houston.
And he's 30. And you look at his reception numbers last year. You know, they started sliding towards the end of the year, and that's with Josh Allen.
Yep.
You couldn't make it work even with the Josh Allen. So I do like C.J. Stroud. I don't think he's quite on Josh Allen's level. I do like him, though. I do think that's a great pick. Like, I love his attitude, and I love how much he likes the game. But regardless, the over-unders, I finally went under, but most of them were overs. And definitely with Hollywood Brown. I ain't messing around with that one.
Yeah, for sure.
Coming up next, we'll look at the Royals and the Boston Red Sox. You asked me an interesting question. We'll deal with that next. Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, James. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock. See, that's taking some time off. One more day here. Got to get ready for camp. Camp starts next week, 16th for the rookies. 21st for the veterans getting there. How often do you think Andy Reid will be asked about three-peating? I think that'll be a topic du jour in day one. I think that'll be topic du jour in day one. As far as the Major League Baseball is concerned, James, we were seeing what Boston was going to do against Oakland. They win 7-0. So Red Sox now moved just one game over the Royals. They came in at a half today. Royals didn't play today. Red Sox did. They beat Oakland's crap team. They get the one. Hey, it's still in play, man. You can kick Boston right out of that wild card. The Kansas City Royals, it's all in front of you, man. You play them. And you know what? The Royals have been playing good teams well.
Yeah, they literally control their own destiny.
They do. And I love, love, love. And by the way, Cleveland got hammered today. So Cleveland, bad. Not only that, they lost 3-4 to Detroit coming forward. I mean, Detroit, the only reason they beat them was in the 10th inning once. Cleveland's not playing well. We talked about how hard their schedule was second half of the season. I mean, it's like the Padres. They get the Phillies on there, who, by the way, swept the Yankees. Oh, not the Yankees, the Dodgers. The Phillies swept the Dodgers. The Phillies have been playing good baseball. They're 29 games over 500. Think about that, 29 games over 500 before the All-Star break. But that's who Cleveland's got coming up. The Royals get the White Sox. The Royals get the 3 a.m. bar girl to start the second half of the season, which is absolutely perfect. But, James, you sent me a text earlier and asked me who I thought would be the Royals who'd go down as the greatest Royal in history, Sal Perez or George Brett. And your opinion is?
I got to give the nod to Sal Perez. And maybe it's because of my age and I didn't get to really see George Brett play.
You're prisoner
that much.
In the moment. But you know what? It's fair.
Yeah.
It's fair, but it's not what I do. And I've seen them both. I grew up with George Brett and I've seen Sal Perez now rebuilding. Now, you could look at Sal Perez. If you're building the case for him, he's been with two young groups, and he's won with. He won with the Hosmers and Moose and guys like that, and they won a world title. Then the team was bad. Now he's winning again with guys like Vinny and Bobby Wood Jr. and Massey. He's winning with this group and Kyle Isbell. Like, he went through two different groups there, and he's winning. He's won a Silver Slugger. He's been a World Series MVP. He's got a ring, and he's doing things at the catcher position that's not been done before. But to me, it's still George Brett, because George Brett's the best baseball player I ever saw playing. And I think sometimes it's who are you around and watching. Like, I was at that age when I grew up, and, you know, I was 12 when they won in 85, and I saw Brett so many times. And I think the fact he won, he proved he can be good for a long, long, long stretch of time. They wouldn't just flash in the pan. He won a batting title in three different decades, which that's insane.
Yeah, you got to give him his credit where it's due. I will say Salvador Perez is turning into not just one of the best players in Royals history, but one of the best catchers in MLB history.
Oh, no question. He's one of, what, three to have 250 home runs, at least 1,500 hits. Johnny Bench and Ivan Rodriguez, the other two, just on that list. I mean, we're looking at Brett. He did have 317 home runs. Brett was an MVP of the whole league. Like, Sal hadn't done that. 13-time All-Star. He did win a Gold Glove. I know Sal's won more, but he did win a Gold Glove. Won three batting titles. He's been an ALCS MVP. And, of course, 3-time Silver Slugger as well. So, both great. Salvador Perez will have his number retired. He'll have a statue. My statue idea, James, has always been the new stadium, ever-flowing bucket of water. Yeah. Like, it's a city of fountains, right?
Yeah.
Just ever-flowing. Like, it's always like it's a fountain that just flows, and it's always water coming out of it.
That would be awesome.
And that way kids can stick their head under it when it's, you know, really hot outside or whatever.
Yeah.
But you got to do that, though. I mean, you have to do it. But it's a good argument. If you didn't see George play, I get it.
Yeah.
But, man, those Royals, man. I mean, that was no salary cap act. No, there's not a salary cap now then either, but it was before the TV explosion. The Royals were the highest payroll in baseball in, like, 1990. Like, even really? Going back to Ewing Coffin's last year, the highest payroll in baseball. And then all of a sudden the cable television explosion with the YES Network and Turner Broadcasting and all that. And now teams can spend money, and the Royals would be hurt by an Omar Infante contract. But yet some teams like the Angels could throw $70 million at Josh Hamilton, or the Red Sox could pay Pablo Sandoval a bunch of money just to go away. The Royals couldn't. They couldn't throw cash as a Band-Aid like a lot of other teams have. But it is interesting, and I do think I think it's an age question. And it's hard because Sal Perez has been so good. He's the captain of this team. He's meant so much. The guy's on a roll. And the funny thing is, he homered against the Cardinals twice.
Uh-huh.
Like, the month of July is actually the fewest home runs he's ever hit in a month. Huh. But he is just ruining that right now, right?
Yeah.
Like, they need his bat. Salvador Perez is getting hot again. And the way he commands a team, but he's done it with two different groups, and that's always impressive.
That's what's the most impressive to me. And, you know, I was born in 88, so I didn't get to see those special seasons, those 85 seasons. And even, you know, in the 90s, I'm 5 years old.
Sure.
You know?
I can't knock you for like a Perez. I am going Brett, though. I mean, George Brett's one of the greatest baseball players, five greatest baseball players I've ever seen.
And I can't argue that. I mean, I've went back and watched highlights of the old 85 team, and George Brett brought this sense of intensity.
I mean, he showed up to stay. Intensity. The Pine Tar game, you name it. I mean, he was full of fire. And you know what? You didn't go out there and screw around because he was going to be in your ass. Like, that kind of fire and intensity, man, was brought by George. Love it. Love it. But anyway, the Royals and Red Sox for three coming up. It's going to be a huge series. in Boston. Don't forget the Royals get the Red Sox back at home later on this year. But to be honest with you, you think about the stretch going out and playing the Cardinals twice. They're in the playoffs. The Red Sox at that time were. So that was going to be five straight games heading into the All-Star break, playing playoff caliber teams. But when you can pitch as well as the Royals are, man, you're always in it. That's the thing, man. Just get to the finish line. Imagine playing a series going against, you know, Lugo and Reagans and Singer, and then maybe getting Reagans again in a closeout game like halfway through the game. There's some good stuff. There's some good stuff. You make an argument there should be three All-Star pitchers. You know, it's the first time in their history they've had two starters in an All-Star game.
Really?
Yep. First time they've in the history of the franchise. They've had multiple pitchers at times, but not two starters from their rotation. So good stuff. Thanks for listening tonight. Thanks, James. I had a ton of fun talking local sports with you.
Oh, man, it's a blast every time I get in here with you.
And thanks for listening. We'll do it again. You can hear me tomorrow. See you then.